So I finished seminary almost 60 years ago. Well, no, 50 years, just over 50 years ago. And in the last 4 years of the seminary, we studied theology. The first year we were dedicated to philosophy. And a major part of the theological program was theological ethics. It was a very lopsided sort of program. We spent an incredible amount talking about sexuality and how far you could go or how far you couldn't go. And whether you could eat 2 ounces of hamburger on Friday, which would send you to hell, and only 1 ounce would not send you to hell. I'm not joking. And you could not baptize people with rose water. I mean, all these massively important items were part of the curriculum. One part of the curriculum that got hardly any notice at all, I don't know what's going on in seminaries today, was the primacy of conscience. As the great document on religious freedom in the Second Vatican Council puts it, conscience is that center part of us human beings which is sacred. It cannot be intruded upon. It is where we constitute ourselves as human beings by our choices. But as I said, we heard nothing about this, or virtually nothing about it. We got all kinds of marching orders. You must do this, you must do this, you must not do this, you must not do this. But the sense that our consciences were free got scant attention. Really an unfortunate circumstance, I think. I hope things are better today in seminary. But every time I hear this phrase, and it comes up several times in the book of Acts, we must obey God rather than human authority. I'm twinged by recollections of that gap in our theological education. Yeah, I think many of us grew up in a church where we were told, as Pius X said, to pay, pray, and obey. But freedom, own responsibility, was already adverted to. That is, we would be free, as they used to say in the seminary, keep the rule and the rule will keep you. Well, that's nonsense. That's rubbish. Only I can keep me before God. And that's, of course, where the business of conscience emerges most clearly, because conscience is supposed to be the voice of God in us, in our lives. That's where, in the deepest part of ourselves, we make the choices that constitute the people that we are. And that's exactly as it should be. So we're all familiar with the Church of Law and Order. You know, we're not so familiar with the church where consciences are nourished, nurtured, liberated, if you will. This passage, this long passage from the Gospel of John, was added on, by the way. The 21st chapter of John was not part of the original Gospel. We know that. You don't have to go into reasons why they added it on. But it clearly was added on. But you'll notice, Jesus enjoins Peter to feed, to nourish, which is to make room for the flock. Not to stand over the flock in some kind of dictatorial manner where you shout out orders and expect everybody to jump into place. I mean, I think we have a long way to go for this to seep into... I don't know. I don't know where the church is today, frankly. I mean, the hierarchy has discredited itself in massive ways. Its treatment of the pedophile, crime. I don't know. Every survey I see indicates there are vast divergences between what the hierarchy says they're supposed to be doing and what the vast majority of Catholics are in fact doing, especially the neurotic issues of sexuality. Divorce and remarried people, birth control. And let me fix on the birth control thing. Paul VI, who presided over the last three sessions of the council, reserved two issues to himself. One was birth control and the other was priestly celibacy. He said, I don't want you guys talking about this. I will take care of this. Paul called a group of theologians together, 80 of them. The conclusion by 85% majority was that birth control should be allowed. Paul got nervous, called in 10 more theologians. They said exactly the same thing. And then Paul comes up with Humanae Vitae, this encyclical letter condemning the use of birth control. But to its credit, many hierarchies, including the hierarchy of Canada, put out a letter of response to that encyclical saying, okay, we have this, but you must follow your conscience. You must follow your conscience. I mean, that's the most striking issue, I think, in our, in my time, in my history, where the primacy of conscience was acknowledged. Not only acknowledged, but established and honored. Honored. But that's where we are. That's who we're supposed to be. People of conscience. People of conscience. And as John Paul II wrote in a late encyclical, I need to know how to be Pope in the 20th century. And nobody answered him, of course, because everybody figured they already knew how to be Pope in the 20th century, but we didn't in the prior 400 years. Which is too bad. Which is too bad. It bespeaks this terrible inequity between the clergy and the laity, the hierarchy and the laity. It should not exist. As the Gospel of Matthew puts it, among the pagans, those in power make their power felt. Among you, it must not be that way. You are all equal. So I'm making these suggestions to myself and to you, because this is something we need to revisit over and over and over again. The state of conscience is never a fixed and settled affair once and for all. Life, just like life, is not a fixed and settled affair once and for all. Finally, a very famous anecdote. As you know, at the First Vatican Council, papal infallibility was declared by the Pope, who very much wanted it. If you read the history of that event, you may know that all of the Eastern Rite Catholic bishops left the council, rather than having to vote on that, because their idea of the political organization of the church was very different. And some American bishops left too, rather than vote on that. But shortly after that declaration was made, there was a banquet in England, and two very famous Anglican converts were present, a guy named Henry Manning and another guy named John Cardinal Newman. The thing that they had in common was that they're both cardinals in the Roman Church. Manning, as with many converts, became ultra-papal. You know, just like talk to ex-smokers. You can't stand the smell of smoke. And that's the way Henry Manning reacted. So at the end of the meal, Manning stood up, said, gentlemen, I give you the Pope, the toast. In response to which, Newman stood up and said, yes, to the Pope, but to conscience first. Amen.